And Steve Curtis is here. He's a consultant on the nuclear energy space. Steve, how are you doing?
Doing fine. Thanks, Scott.
So we're all about all of the above energy here. We talk a lot about oil and gas energy. We talk about coal energy and the decades-long relationships there. Private property rights, very important to us here on the program. So wind energy is important because, of course, you know, wind turbines located a lot of times in ag space. So we are advocates for all of the above, and that would have to include nuclear.
Yes, I believe so. I think there's a really good case to be made for that, Scott.
First of all, I want to know how to pronounce nuclear.
Nuclear.
Yeah. Sometimes I say I add some syllables in there, but I'm in good company because of the 43rd president of the United States, George W. Bush, did too.
He had his own way of
what did he say again?
Nuclear.
Nuclear. Yeah, kind of nuclear. But it's nuclear.
Yeah.
All right. Just want to make sure I'm saying it right so I don't get any cards and letters. Does North Dakota have a future with nuclear energy?
Well, I believe they could. The thing I'm in the top of my mind right now is the spent nuclear fuel that's come from the commercial reactors. That's been an issue for closing on 40 years now in the industry, and they have not solved it yet. So my proposal is if a state could propose to take the spent nuclear fuel, of which 95% of the energy is still embedded in the nuclear fuel after it's spent, I think they could make quite a deal with the federal government to do that and really enter the nuclear space in a big way.
When you say take, you mean store, I assume, right?
Well, you'd store it initially, but I think you want to recycle it. That's one of the cases I'd make for it. If you're going to go forward with this, you'd want to insist that they pay to have you recycle the spent nuclear fuel and pull the new fuel out of it from that process.
For that to happen, you would have to have elected leaders here say, yeah, that's a good idea. We want to do that. Now, they're going to say, wait a minute. Wait a minute here. You want me to take this this nuclear fuel and most of the you know, scary stuff is already part of what you're having come here. How do you assure them that it's safe?
Well, for the last 30 to 35 years, I came from Nevada. I've lived in Nevada for 38 years, and they came from there, and they spent a good deal of their time scaring people a lot about nuclear energy because they didn't want the spent fuel coming to Nevada. And technically, I'm kind of on the side of not burying it. I have always been in favor of recycling it.
What does that mean, recycling it?
Well, you mix it up in a big witch's brew of acid and separate out the different components. There's really only four components to it. The bad actors in spent nuclear fuel, the preponderance of the bad actors are only 3% of the mixture. So if you can chemically separate those out of it, 95% of it doesn't even change while it's in the reactor. So you can basically reuse that part of it in a lot of different ways. And next generation reactors are going to give you a lot more options on how to use that. There's a lot of different ways you can burn this fuel in the next generation design of reactors that are smaller reactors and more like neighborhood reactors. And
so that 3% is what you're actually after to recycle.
Right. There's two other components besides the 3%, but they're not a big contributor to the long-term problem. In fact, they could be used as fuel, those other two components. So really 3% out, you could really design the recycling process to use the rest of the fuel in different kind of reactors, especially those coming online in the next decade or so.
That is very interesting. Now, again, back to the safety factor. What do we do with these now?
Well, the fuel right now is being stored in something called dry cask storage at each nuclear site. The government's paying $2.2 million a day to have that done every day to keep that nuclear fuel kept on the site, the spent nuclear fuel. It was supposed to be accepted by the federal government in 1999, but they never, ever got the repository done. So they're not accepting it. And the lawsuits flew after that. And the upside of it was they had to keep it on site, but the government would have to pay for the storage of that. So it's not a free service that they provide. The government's paying money for that every day.
So your argument here is that you go to the federal government and say, we're going to solve your $2.2 million per day problem.
Yes, plus the fact that there's a legacy problem with it. And they've promised since 1999, now 20 years later, they haven't fulfilled their promise. Technically, it's the easiest part of the whole nuclear fuel cycle to solve. It's not as complicated as people think, and it's not as dangerous. In fact, France has been doing this for 50 years without a single incident. But the key to this is that no other state has agreed to accept it. And Nevada's been fighting this for 40 years. They pay $7 million a year for an office to fight all this. And so people have been scared. They've been putting out information and really scaring them on it. And
in Nevada's case, they want to accept it?
They do not.
They do not.
They've been fighting.
Fighting as get rid of this stuff.
So,
because you federal government, you put this on our back.
Exactly. You know, okay. Yeah, not in my backyard kind of stuff. And so they really, really have been a concerted effort to do that. And
why, though? What is the sort of man on the street argument against this?
Okay, my best guess is they got mad at DOE back in the early 1980s when DOE tried to force it down their throat. And those guys who are mad at them are still alive and still pushing the sense of it. They say different, but there's really no material arguments that they have that hold up technically in it.
Got it. So so North Dakota's role would be what? How would North Dakota benefit? What's our argument? We go to the federal government and say what?
Get your governor and your two senators and your representative march into Trump's office and say, here's a list of things that if you'll accomplish these things, we will do. And, of course, there's going to be political things on there. But you can ask for, essentially, a free ticket to the nuclear business. You could get a recycling center, which is $25 billion. Now, you think that's expensive, but burying the stuff looks to be costing about $200 billion. So you got some wiggle room in there as far as how Congress looks at the expenses of this. And then what you do then is you can sort of make designer fuel out of the stuff that you recycle. You don't have to recycle it, especially to go back into the big light water reactors that we have today. You can design it different ways for the different generations of small modular reactors, the smaller reactors that are coming out maybe in a decade. We're supposed to have some prototypes here in about 5 years, actually. It's pretty close. And they will burn fuel anywhere from 20% enriched, which is way more enriched than we put in the light water reactors now, all the way down to natural uranium. There's different designs that do all that, and they're applied to different areas of need. So you could design, you could do the research on the reactors and the research on the advanced fuel at the same time you're recycling the spent fuel that comes in here. And people have been way overhyped about how dangerous this is. It's really, really quite safe. Like I said, they've been doing it. Every other country's been doing it except us. And they've been doing it very safely and very efficiently.
Well, yeah, are we scared of it because of Chernobyl, basically? Or
Chernobyl's one of the things that's used to scare people, but there's no... Technically, there's no relationship between Chernobyl and what we're trying to do.
Yeah, that was a plant that had a major accident, right?
I could make a case for that it wasn't an accident. It was more on purpose. But the point is, it was as something everybody heard about, and something was bad. That was the worst nuclear accident we've had outside of the two bombs at the end of World War II. Yeah.
When was it? A long time ago.
1986.
Yeah.
So it's been more than 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But the point is, there is a risk in everything you take. But if you look at the industrial record of the nuclear energy business, it's the best record of any other energy business by far, by orders of magnitude. Even if you consider the Chernobyl accident as being, that's the only place that there's ever been casualties.
By removing the problem from the federal government, you're saving the federal government money, so you're giving them an incentive to do something, and you're having a new industry set up here, which you're saying would be like a $25 billion plant?
Correct.
That's what it would take to
recycle it, but then some of the other things you could ask for is I would propose you'd ask for a carbon-free energy national laboratory, which is a huge, huge deal, which would allow you to bring together all the clean energy ideas, not just nuclear. I would ask for something called a microgrid research, because microgrid's the way the grid's going, to where you have a smaller controlled grid that you can sever from the big grid if something goes wrong with it, because there's worries about the bigger grid. Bigger grid is old, and cybersecurity issues and the control issues of the bigger grid are of concern to people. You could do that research here, and then you could also make a case for what I call applied science and applied engineering, where you take the discoveries made in the national laboratories and share them with industry on a industrial park kind of basis, and use that as a revenue generating thing. You could really be the center of the nuclear world for the next 50, 60 years even.
See, I like the idea of yet another industry in the energy space contributing to schools and roads and water projects. And, it's just it's another tax-paying entity. It's more jobs. It's
the highest-paying jobs that there are. The highest-paying technical jobs of any industry is in the nuclear industry.
Is that right?
And you need, of course, a lot of PhDs, and you'd have to pump up your school into nuclear engineering and radiochemistry types of curriculum, and you'd be turning out the next generation of nuclear scientists while you're building an industry and the electrical power industry is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Cars are going electric, so there's going to be a huge demand for electricity as time goes on.
Well, good luck as this conversation moves on. We look forward to, we'll ask our elected leaders about it too, and continue to follow it. Steve, thanks a bunch.
Okay, happy to talk anytime. Thank you.
Steve Curtis. Steve is a consultant on nuclear energy, and North Dakota might have a future. Have a chance. A good case. Save the federal government some money and get some significant investment going right here. What do you think of that?